These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
Good morning, students. I'm Michelle Baber.
And I'm Lauren Davis.
And this is Bravo Breakdowns. We have a very special guest, an above-the-line guest, as we like to delineate them, number one on the call sheet. She is doing her show. What's the name of the show again, Meredith?
It's called The Moment.
So my show is called The Moment Live. It's a live streaming news show. We are live Tuesdays and Fridays at 8 a.m. PST. 11 a.m. EST, and we break down the biggest news of the day. Today we had on Francesca Ramsey, who's an amazing creator, actress, etc., and Soledad O'Brien, who did a fantastic documentary on the reality of abortion in the state of Georgia right now.
Oh.
So that's my big project right now that I'm plugging wherever I can.
Wow, that's awesome.
That is really cool. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank God this is not live.
Yes. And, this is that's like the most actually helping the world intro I've ever botched. Usually it's like Heather McDonald, like her seventh podcast. I'm like, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
So make sure you guys got that right.
Well, I'm also like, I also have a lot of really, you know, nothing burger things that I can always plug, which are just find my TikTok, find my Instagram, find my YouTube. Mm-hmm. So listen, like not every day is hard hitting journalism.
Right, right. Wow. The highbrow and the lowbrow. It's all
we
about
like
the high-low mix. So, yeah, speaking of the lowbrow, I think that's how we initially fell into your, like, TikTok and into your oeuvre and then got more drawn into the highbrow as well. I think we can always thank you for you introduced us to Anne Able herself.
I thank you for that. Sometimes I'm like, do I thank her for that? Or do I say, hey, why'd you do that? Because I'll be on TikTok and I'm like to my husband, babe, a new Anne Able just dropped. And he's like, I can't take another sweater story.
What do you like about Anne?
Ooh, nothing.
Her moroseness, I think.
Well, I think it's just, it's always like a car crash. Like, you'll just be like, oh, it's this, like, sweet older lady. She's an influencer. That's really fun because you always see influencers, like, they're younger. And, you know, she's, like, going around New York City, going to these restaurants, being like, I like this food. And then, like, in the middle of talking about, like, a croissant that she ate in Paris, she's like, my parents were terrible people, and I'm just now dealing with the abuse of my mother. And you're like, whoa. Or she'll be showing you like kids' toys, and she's like, I got this for my grandson. I don't like his wife, though. We don't speak. And because of that, I don't speak to my child. Isn't this cute? It's like, whoa.
Yeah. I think like when I first found her, I thought like, oh my gosh, like, so she's just like an older woman who's making content.
That's fun.
And then it's been weird. And people are always to me like, don't make fun of her. She had a hard childhood. I'm like, that's the like barrier to making fun of someone. Like, I'm sorry. She also faked cancer so she could buy her grandson a dump truck.
Yes, because, yeah, oh my God. That's like, that's not hyperbole. If nobody knows who Anne Able is, this is a true story that Meredith just said. And it's on Anne's TikTok.
She actually took it down.
She
did. Because, like, I think even she knew, like, basically she wanted
cancer
to, her,
in a dump
yeah, like,
truck,
it felt
yeah.
a bridge too far. And for the, mm-hmm. the, you know, uninitiated, basically, this is like a typical Anne story.
Yeah.
Her son set, like, what I feel like is probably a really healthy boundary, which was he only wanted to do presents for the kids on holidays and birthdays. So that meant, like, you can't just, like, mail us a bunch mm-hmm. of shit.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like that. Mm-hmm. And so she really wanted to buy her grandson a gift just for, you know, just to buy a gift. And so she went to the doctor and there was a suspicious spot on her. And so instead of just being like, hey, they got to check out this mole, which, like, by the way, happens to, like, you know, not
everyone.
Underestimating how stressful that is, but
yeah.
that happens quite a bit. Instead of saying that, she called her son and was like, I have cancer and there's nothing that can be done. Please, mm-hmm. can I buy this dump truck?
Yes.
And, like, to me, that is, like, That's scary manipulation.
It is so scary.
It's a Kim Zolciak. That's what she did, where she pretended to have the cancer, and that's why she wore wigs, even though she had the scan that was negative already. Yeah.
Yes.
It's the height of manipulation. And that's my thing with Anne, where I'm like, why is she an influencer? It's like, because I can't imagine her feeling joy, even from validation. But it's like, I think it's like, I do think that she is an operator. And it's like, oh, you can kind of like operate on a bigger, on a global scale, you know?
You know, and the other thing about Anne is like, she's very wealthy. Like, she's incredibly, Meredith did a spit take.
There's a pay-to-play component with Anne. That's the thing.
She's incredibly wealthy. I don't even understand all of the wealth, but she has this huge apartment in New York City. They have a serious mansion right on the beach in North Carolina. I think they're building a house in the Hamptons.
She gets her bob trimmed every day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the same place Anna Wintour probably gets her bob trimmed. Like, they have the same bob. Yeah.
It's her parents' money that really made her this wealthy, actually. So,
yeah, really?
Yeah. I mean, I think that Andy, that's Anne's husband, did very well for himself. He was in the academic world. But, like, I mean, you don't become, like, that wealthy, like, unless you become sort of like an Alan Dershowitz or whatever. I know, exactly. Like, just pretend it's like just the books part for a second.
Yeah. He's an economist. Like, her husband's an economist.
Yeah. And so he did do well, and I think he's probably really good at managing their money, but I think Anne's real wealth came from her parents, who had, I believe, a pharmaceutical lab that they started in, like, the 1960s. And so I think they did really well from themselves, and that Anne inherited a significant amount of money. So it's a little too, like, Anne, like, you know, I realize these didn't, like, I actually believe that her parents probably weren't great parents, but, like, at a certain point, it's like, I don't know. Like, can you really be? I don't know. I'm 40 and I'm blaming my parents for things.
Oh, I still do. I just turned 40 and I'm like, you know, my knees hurt now. It's not because I'm 40. It's you, Mom.
Exactly. So, you know, I think there's an Anne Abel in all of us. And you know what? I'll give her this. She's not afraid to
She's not afraid. And she will. I mean, some of them. OK, I have to admit, like, do you find some of them kind of funny pose? Like, she'll be like, oh, I got this sweater. My son and my grandchildren sent me this sweater for Mother's Day. And it's like, when I put it on, it's like a hug from my kid and my grandkids. It was like, obviously, it was her daughter-in-law who bought that sweater and had it sent to her for her Mother's Day, but did not mention her at all. And then she's like, it's like a hug. It's like, oh my gosh. But the video before is like, I don't speak to my daughter-in-law.
Exactly.
Yeah. She's such a Tracy Ullman character, I feel like. She's like everything so, like, in kind of an 80s, or like even Chris Lilly. It's very, like, everything's so pointed.
At first I thought it seems like parody, but, you know.
It's real.
But it's so real.
It's so real for her. It's so real. And this is what we're trying to express. It's the disconnect between the wealthy in this country.
Yes.
Just this operation of, like, you know, I'm going to be an influencer. I am going to talk about these croissants. I'm going to go all the way to Paris and tell you how miserable I am in Paris. This is something also Anne Abel did. She, like, flew first class to Paris. They were there forever. She's like, I don't like it here.
But, like, also, you know what? Respect, because there are so many people that I know who go on vacations like that, and the fucking Instagrams are just like, oh, say more about croissants. Like, you know what I mean?
That.
Like, they're just easy, and it's like, more croissants, more problems. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of, like, a really.
Right.
But, like, Anne goes places, and she's like, really? I just want to be in my own home on my treadmill.
And she's in my own homes, plural.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's like a brave and defiant creature of misery, which, like, what's wrong with that?
Why do we have to live our best life? She gets brand deals. She gets brand deals. And she has, like, she has some team that follows her across to Paris, all the way to Paris. And I don't know. It's so funny. The first place that she showed everybody when she went to Paris was the gym at the hotel. Very fun.
Yeah. Very Anne Abel coded.
Very Anne Abel. We would never do that here on this podcast.
Well, speaking of women of a certain age who are
particular.
Bathing in their own misery. Let's talk about Jill Zarin and her recent
blocking of us.
What was she thinking and blocking of us?
We've been blocked by her and Allie.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny you say that because I just noticed that she deactivated her account.
Maybe that's why I thought I was blocked. Jill?
Yeah. So the other day she made it private. And then I don't think she blocked me. But I do think that she did I do think she got off the socials, which might be good for her.
Good.
Right.
Yeah. I think that she just doesn't have the self-control. She just goes in these self-destructive spirals, Jill, I feel like. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and this one was a little less self-destructive. It was more just like, hey, well, it was very destructive, but it's like, I think there's a difference between being just like an annoying person and that nobody wants to watch on TV versus like, I'm very racist and let me double down on this and post this and say what I said.
But it's that can't be new, but it is new, her saying that and making a TikTok of it and like putting it out in the
and
world.
Doubling down a week after they announced their new show. Very interesting timing on that. But Meredith, you said, like, I saw your TikTok the other day, like, she was following you, or she does follow you, or she did follow you.
Was.
The ghost of Jill's account is maybe still following you.
She was following. So, like, you know, I've known Allie a little bit over the last couple of years, just on DMs, whatever. And I think we follow each other. And I don't know if she still follows me. And like, it's totally, if she does not like the videos that I made about her mom, I completely understand that. Like, you know, I think that it's put Allie in a tough spot. But at the same time, like, I can't deny how just blatantly racist that video was and how harmful it was. And, you know, it's like just when Jill's getting a bigger platform again. Mm-hmm. I think she was a little high on her own supply. Mm-hmm. I think she was probably like fucking feeling herself that week.
Yes.
Oh, I'm back on TV.
She was excited.
Doing good. I knew I could. And so I think she, and if you watch the video in it, she says like, you know what? I know this is going to get me canceled. I know, like, you knew it was bad. You knew it wasn't good. And people in the background, like her, I think it's her, I don't know if they're engaged, but her partner was like, I really liked it. So it's like, it just was like, you know, I mean, so many times when I see people do stuff like this, I'm like, that you can always text someone, like run a take by someone first. That's what I had. But she did follow me after I did. This is what I thought was funny. I made a video that was very scathing about Bethany and Bethany's rant, which was, I think, had a lot of microaggressions in it. But like, Bethany has, I think, a much more well-documented history of like, making microaggressions on social. Jill, like, the thing
and
for Jill
TV.
Is like, Jill, like, you really fucked up because like, you really have kept it under the radar. But anyway,
I think we always knew her associations when she'd be like, I'm playing tennis at Mar-a-Lago, but there's a difference between being like, I'm playing tennis at Mar-a-Lago and then like going on Instagram and being like, I'm a racist, listen to this.
And so I made the Bethany video that was pretty scathing and, you know, there's no love lost there. But afterwards, I think, you know, you can tell what someone follows you from. I could see that Jill followed me from the Bethany reel. And I think Jill was probably like, look at this, Allie, look, it looks like she, now Bethany's getting the heat. This is going to take the pressure off of me. I think that's literally what she thought.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, what an incredible Jill Zarin that was.
Yeah, that was actually
like,
solid.
I was like, oh my God, I was transported to Mar-a-Lago.
Mm-hmm. It was really hard not to see Bobby.
Like,
that is her, like, that to me, like, it's always, for me, it was always Jill and Bobby. Like,
Bobby.
That was always
Bobby.
Her, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think, I also think that Jill took zero accountability. And so, like, I'm not saying that you can come back from that, but the only thing that she released was like via a spokesperson, something to In Touch.
In Touch.
And yes. It's like, yes. No, we no. probably needed like an Instagram full screen apology, and it yes. would not have won back everyone.
No.
But it would have like at least solidified that you were like actually sorry. And also too, like there was no, she was like, I'm human. And it's
yeah,
like,
that
well,
was her.
Yes.
That was all she said.
You were an alien. Like,
yeah, I'm human and you should, I feel like they didn't even give me a chance is what she said about the network for letting her go too.
Yeah.
But
so it's always the victim mentality mm-hmm. whenever it's the consequences of her actions, which is like disappointing that she can't learn when she wants, like the thing she wants is to be back on TV so badly. And then mm-hmm. she keeps like getting mm-hmm. in her own way like that.
Yeah.
It's like, but it's tough to root for her after this now.
Like, do you think she's interesting TV in 2026? Like, take the racist part out of it.
No, I feel like
I liked her on Below Deck.
I never watched her on Below Deck. I mean, I watched her on that twisted girls trip, Ultimate Girls Trip, where they were all in the Berkshires.
That was great. But because of her and Dorinda's like toxic bond in their history where they used to be good friends.
Well, and also Dorinda replacing her now on the new show must be like really.
Oh, my God.
She must really be like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a part of it, I think, is nostalgia, is 100% yeah. nostalgia
yeah,
for old
but
Roni.
I think it would just be, I don't know. I was like, Jill without Bethany is so weird. And Bethany's like, I personally wondered if Bethany was going to do like a cameo on the new show because she does live in Florida now. She's in South Florida now. And it's not with Bravo. And
right.
it's with E. Mm-hmm. And E is no longer with NBC Universal. So I was like wondering if she was going to do something in some capacity on the show because she's not really doing the whole reality reckoning thing anymore. Mm-hmm.
Remember when she
sort of gave that up?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yes. I remember she'd go on TikTok. Like, thanks, Beth. And she'd go on TikTok and she'd have a manifesto and she'd be like, listen, I just had to do this really quick and I didn't even get to consult an attorney, but this is how you take down an entire industry really quickly. And she's like, this is my manifesto. And I'm like, what's going on? It's like 3:30 in the morning where you are, Bethany. Like, what are you doing? You're writing manifestos for reality TV, something that you no longer take part of, but also it's still how people know her, right? Like, I think that's still the thing that she's most known for. It's like, it's Roni, and then it's like maybe the TJ Maxx TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think your video, Meredith, like you made a point about how, like, it was with Bethany, like, drone strikes, reality reckoning. It was like she was like
so manic,
really manic, and like really unstable for a period in there between, like, 2022 to 2024, and now like it's like no one talks about it anymore, which is crazy.
Yeah,
like that we've just forgotten that she was like deeply unwell, deeply
well,
and publicly
deeply
unwell.
But also, she's still posting like all the Epstein files. Like she's like, what files? It's like, you know what files?
Yeah. Well, Let's get into that a little bit.
Are you okay doing that? Okay.
Yes. Oh, please.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. In the words of Bethany,
mention it all.
Mention it all.
What files?
So, yeah. So So you had a theory that it's like Bethany is trying to specifically distract from Michael Capone, who is like involved in her global management, was like the charity under the Be Strong umbrella operated.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And then, like, that he's in the Epstein files for, like, sending underage models to Mar-a-Lago, allegedly.
Oof.
Did you know that another person who's in the files quite a bit, Carol Radswell, is rumored to have introduced them and set Bethany up with, like, the, you know, funding she needed for the charity to operate underneath that brand.
Oh, that's so interesting. So so Carol introduced Bethany to Michael Capone.
Yes.
That is the rumor.
That's the rumor. And so like, we did a deep dive. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. We did that deep dive a while back on this podcast. We did a deep dive on Bethany and like her friendship with Carol. A lot of it was like Bethany wanted to be friends with Carol because of all of these connections that she had. And so she was using that for her, like a big part of it was like, all of the connections that she was using for her charity, Be Strong, at that time. And like, they were really all like Carol's Rolodex. It's crazy.
That makes sense. I mean, Carol is very well connected. She comes from like a very different world than Bethany.
A very different.
More like serious one where I think like there was more money flowing and like
Kennedy.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think with here's the deal. There's so much in the Epstein files.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Like, and so it's really hard to discern certain things. Right.
Right.
And I don't know a lot about Carol's friendship with Ghislaine other than to know that she took Carol's photo for her book,
What Remains.
Yes.
Right. I will say this. I feel like if I was making friends and I made friends with someone and they were like, well, you know, I have this like, you know, sort of partner, boyfriend, whatever. He is a convicted sex offender. I'd be like, you know what? I think I'm going to pull back. I think I'm going to go ahead and like not be like, you know, and so there's that piece. There's also ways in which people like people will be like, this person's name is in the files. And I'm like, yeah, because somebody emailed Jeffrey Epstein and said, last night I went to dinner and blah, blah, blah was at the restaurant. Like that doesn't make someone.
Right.
Whatever. So.
Right.
I think with Carol, what's like a little more damning, it's less, it's more just like how much she was talking about it before to random people on Twitter and in DMs where it's like, oh, like, you know, this happens to all of us. And it's like suddenly she's very active online.
Everyone was friends with Ghislaine. Like you had to, you know, she was just a person that everybody knew. It's like, okay. I don't know. It is a little more damning. And then also like, I mean, with Bethany, knowing all of Carol's connections and like a lot of that was like why she wanted to be so good, like such good friends with Carol. It is interesting all this stuff with Bethany's charity, with the Be Strong charity, because that was a very big charity for a long, long time. Mm. And as Bethany reminded us the other day, she's been to Puerto Rico so many times.
Six. No one has done more for Puerto Rico.
No one's done more. Yeah.
Well, I think like for me, I think what it is like the Michael Capone tip is quite terrifying and very real. And so I think what happens when you are someone like Bethany and a public figure and you have this, you know, I like to call it a nonprofit initiative because that's what I actually worked in nonprofit fundraising for a long time. So that was my career before I was a creator. So I really know the back end. And what I've always found to be really interesting about Global Empowerment Mission, which is the nonprofit that houses Be Strong. So any donation to Be Strong actually is Global Empowerment Mission. And the CEO of that is Michael Capone. Michael has a very sordid past. And there's some parts of that he's very open about. I don't know if you guys have done any work on this, but like, you know, he did struggle with addiction. That's, you know, people have that. They get over it. All that good stuff. But also, like, he runs a construction company and very recently has had lawsuits against him for unpaid rent for his offices. That seems weird that a nonprofit CEO isn't paying rent for his construction. And I've always said this, and listen, someday I'm going to have the time to sit down and really dig into it. It's my opinion. But I think it's interesting that a construction guy is so obsessed with going to places that have disaster relief, that need disaster relief. And I've long thought that this was actually a bit of a con for him to go in and rebuild these communities when land is really cheap and you can, you know, like basically manipulate people and
who are struggling.
Land.
Yes. They've lost everything, right? Yes. You're at your most vulnerable. Honestly,
exactly.
You've lost
every
possession, your homes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I've long thought that's interesting. And I'll just say over the last like week since I started talking about Michael again, because I've talked about him before, I've gotten some really interesting messages about him.
Wow,
Bethany, wow.
So anyway, I feel like if you have a recurring donation to Global Empowerment Mission, it probably does some great work and it probably does bring a couple some great things. But I also think that I would just say I don't think that Michael Capone is probably a honest person. So that's that.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about the you mentioned in the video that like his 24-year-old girlfriend, like there was kind of an overboard situation where she lost her memory of him. Like, in
wait, I missed this. Yeah.
Okay. So Michael Capone, he's like a playboy. He's always had, I think, younger girlfriends. He's engaged to a much younger woman now. And But when he was, I don't know, this was probably 10 years ago. I think it was 2016. He was probably mid-40s and he was dating a 24-year-old woman who he'd been in a relationship with, he claimed, for a year. And they were in a boating accident in Miami. They crashed into some rocks. It was a pretty bad accident. It happened very early in the morning, if I'm remembering correctly. He was cleared of any like drug or alcohol things. I mean, it just seemed like it was just an unfortunate accident that happened, right? Mm-hmm. So according to him, after this happened, she got amnesia. And I'm only laughing because she and her family have never confirmed this. She definitely did suffer injuries, et cetera. And so he was like, she has amnesia and she doesn't remember me. And
she doesn't remember me.
She's the love of my life and her family is keeping her away from me. And the family sort of responded and said, like, listen, she just does not want to have a relationship with Michael anymore. And people have written into me and told me that, like, yeah, for like a year, he was like all bloated, shuffling around Miami with like pictures of her, like, because he got like the Daily Mail to pick up the story. And like, I think like he was like doing all these like grand gestures of like, just remember
me. Oh my God. Was he playing that song from the movie Coco? Remember me. Like in like Disney movies, or like this is like the plot of like a,
it's well, overboard, like a fucked but his fantasy Hallmark is movie being where it's like,
you know,
the rich
I had amnesia
guy.
And I forgot I was a princess of Christmas.
Right. And like really you're the princess of a sketchy nonprofit CEO. But right. I also think like her family, wow. like she'd been dating him for a year and her family didn't know about them. So I think there was a reason she was probably keeping them sort of quiet from it. And I think it was probably like, okay, I don't want to be with this man anymore. But I also think yeah. it's like such a wild claim to be like, if she like somebody amnesia. Breaks up with you and it's like, she just got amnesia.
Yeah. She yeah. just forgot she that I'm the love me. Of, like she's for someone to damage. Say like, no. She didn't leave me. I left her and she keeps forgetting that I am in fact the love of her life. It's like, right? That's a crazy statement to make. You're like not even saying like, we were so in love or something.
Yes.
Like to make it all yeah. about like, she is obsessed with me. I'm the love of her life is a wild claim.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm so glad to know not about this though. That is juicy. TBI. That's just crazy. Like, that's just like, never in my wildest dreams would I ever like ever say something like that. You know?
Well, and I think like, yeah. one of the things I think about with Bethany sometimes, and like contrary to popular belief, I really don't think about Bethany that often. People are always like, you're obsessed with her.
You're and I'm obsessed like, with her, yeah.
I really don't think about her beyond like when she does something and then people will like send it to me. And sometimes I don't even, like a lot of the times I don't even look. But when I knew, when someone was like, she had a racist bad bunny take, I was like, all right. To my husband, I was like, give me your phone because yeah. I'm blocked on everything. So it's like, yeah. that's a whole other thing. But you know, one of the things I think about her is she doesn't appear to have many friends. And
no,
so
we talk about
she
that.
Doesn't.
All of her friends are, I feel like, people
they work
who
for
she,
her.
Who works for
they
her.
Work
or
for her.
Like her friends from when she was a child.
So actually,
I think that's why she moved to Florida.
Maris,
that's
did you read this article? It came out, I can't remember. I think it was in The Cut, but it was like 2 or 3 years ago. And it was about, they did a story on Bethany. So they went, it was when she was still living in that huge house, like that estate in Connecticut, and
oh,
she
with
was
the boyfriend. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah. with her boyfriend, and they, she was like this, like you know, kind of starting her content creator sort of career. And so they went, and they were going to do this piece on her, and they were talking about like in the piece, they were like, she doesn't have anybody to talk to. Like the only people that Bethany was, and she was like, I'm so glad you're here. This is so exciting. Like I never have anybody to talk mm-hmm. to except like sometimes when Bryn is here or sometimes Paul will talk to me, or it's just the all of the staff that she has. Like she doesn't really right. have connections with like
peers.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't have, she's talked a lot very openly about like her relationship with her family. She doesn't have one. She didn't even before they passed away. I think she has a really good relationship with her daughter. And I just, yeah, we've never known Bethany to have a ton of friends, even when she was on The Housewives. Like, she just doesn't really have a ton of people.
Except for Carol. I mean, I think that's right. part of why, like, it was such a falling out, because I think, like, Bethany's friendships are work. Like, she mm-hmm. has to both, like, it has to be part of her work, or she's yeah. like, I don't have time for this. And so when she tried to bring her issues to the forefront, to the screen. And Carol was like, I'm not that kind of reality star. Like, I'm not comfortable with that. It was like a huge dissolution.
I also think Carol thought they were real friends.
Yeah.
And I think for Bethany, it was very transactional. And Carol strikes me as someone who like has been through like severe trauma. So she's very cautious about who she's friends with. But I do think she, you know, I have a friend who's friends with her, and like, I do see her having really close bonds to people. So I think like to her, I think she felt probably very manipulated by Bethany.
Manipulated. And see, do you think that Bethany thinks that's what like friendship and relationships is though?
Yes,
like if they're transactional, maybe she doesn't even realize that. She's like, oh, no, I mean, I thought just like being friends at this age, you know, I do all this, like I have all these jobs, this is my career. Like you have to be gaining something out of a relationship.
Yes.
And Bethany is like work or whatever it is. Like she has to get something out of it that is helping her career in some way, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like the rumor was with, you know, because of, again, like the rumor was with Michael, like she hooked her up with Michael Capone for the Be Strong charity to give her more resources, planes, all of that.
Yeah.
But then like the summer before their like season 10, like friendship breakup on Roni, like that Carol, her best friend, Cassandra Gray, her husband, who was like the head of Paramount at the time, died. And so then like you know, Carol kind of like stayed with her the whole summer and helped her grieve and sat Shiva with her. And then Bethany, it was when she was shopping reality shows after Bethany and Frederick, you know, their reality show ended contentiously, and she kept trying to come through to like meet people, and Carol kept being like, I just think it's inappropriate. And that Bethany like really resented that, like, you know, it wasn't,
she took it like so personally. I don't think it, like, it's like almost like it didn't clock for her that like this is a wildly inappropriate time for you to be like trying to utilize these connections. But, you know,
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised like if she is and I don't throw this word around, but like if she is an actual narcissist, and, you know, she can't sort of understand that like somebody would be like, I like can't help you with that because this is the phase that I'm at in life right now, or this is how I'm trying to support this friend. And it doesn't surprise me. And the thing that I'll say is like, I just can't think of like one. I mean, she's had like, whether it was her relationship with Carol or her relationship with Jill or Andy or, you know, I mean, they used to be very close. And to quote Ramona, like, you don't have any friends. You screw them all up. And so I think there's that as well. And, you know, I actually have empathy for Bethany because I don't, like, people are always to me like, be nice to her. She had, she had a bad childhood.
God.
I'm like, fucking Christ, you guys. Like,
you guys
love that excuse. Like, you should get on the, like, trials of serial killers with that. But I do think that she didn't have a good childhood. From what I know, her father was a fucking piece of shit. The horse trainer father. I think life with mom was really chaotic. I don't think she had a solid foundation. But I also don't think Jason Hoppe was a great guy. Like, so people are always like, Jason was right. I'm like, no, I don't think he was a good guy either. I think that Bethany's just like a deeply traumatized person.
She
and like
is.
In a like, I not in a way. My heart actually goes out to her in some ways. I don't, not when she does the racist shit, like when she pulls the microaggressions and shit, like that's where, but like, I do think she's a really hurt person. And so she hurts people before they can hurt her.
She does do that. I do feel like, she does kind of have a big history of this, like just sort of blowing up relationships before they can be blown up on her. She's like, I'm just going to like, I'm just going to burn this house down and then you can't do anything to me. Like what she did to Bravo, like. You know, because the reality reckoning thing, it's like, I actually agreed with her on a lot of this stuff. As somebody who's been watching
they should
have a union. I'm pro-union. Like, if they have one for SAG, they have it for the Writers Guild, they have it for directors. Like, I don't know why reality stars are exempt. Like, they should have a union that's protecting them and they're getting health insurance. Like, I agree with all of that. It's just the way that she went about it, where she was like, by the way, I was never fired from Bravo. I left twice on my own accord and they take me back any day. It's like, you don't have to start with like trying to like start a union by doing it. Like, Norma Rae would never. Okay, Bethany.
Yeah.
Like,
Norma Rae wouldn't be like, hashtag Norma Rae union.
Yeah.
Like
hashtag
does,
I didn't get fired, Andy. And so then she's just like, I'm going to totally blow up like NBC Universal and Andy and Bravo and all of these different things. And it's just, the way that she goes about things is very confusing to me. Like, I think it's very odd, but she can't also be canceled, I feel like, because she's not on anything and she's not on a TV show. So they can't fire her for that. She already got paid out for the Skinny Girls stuff. Like, she's really kind of just a brand ambassador. She really is just a content creator at this point. So there's nothing to be, I guess, like what she wouldn't get as many brand deals, but you know, there's nothing to take her away from.
Canceled, unless like I don't think you. I actually think that canceling is like for example, like Kevin Spacey was like out with Lauren Sanchez and Jeff Bezos, like at a same party as them
recently.
It was like I think it was the AIDS. What was it? AIDS or AMFAR? It was I don't know.
And the AMFAR, he was at AMFAR.
I can't remember if he was at AMFAR. He was at something at Cannes, and like I think you know, Louis C.K. lives in fucking, you know, Jeffrey Epstein went to prison for trafficking minors.
Yeah.
And then George Stephanopoulos and Stephen Schwartzman are emailing, please come to our party in 2017. Like, it's like, so Bethany, like in the grand scheme of things, and maybe Jill can also like feel some relief in this, is like, meh, you know.
I feel like Jill's going to get a show on Fox or something. I just feel
it. I mean, she was calling Kelly Dodd the next day. So
they're going to have a show on Fox together. Kelly Dodd's husband used to be he was a broadcaster.
I don't think Kelly Dodd is insurable even on Fox at this point. I don't even think they can get her on.
Well, I guess like Megyn Kelly doesn't work there anymore. But like, you know, Megyn Kelly the other day said, listen, if you weren't in the Epstein files, then you weren't cool or something like. And it's like, OK, she's like anybody who was anybody. They're in the Epstein files. So you should be worried if somebody you do like is not in the Epstein files. And I was like, this is a fucking crazy take, even for Megyn Kelly. But okay, like, queen. Like, sure. Like, yeah, my favorites are not in the Epstein files. They must not be cool.
She is the best at, like, finding the most crazy, gymnastic, circular, stupid logic to find a way to back up Trump before anyone else. She's like, right. I know how to justify this tweet. Like, she's like, I got to get there first.
I got to, yeah. And give it a conservative slant. Although, not to go back to Bethany, but she kind of does weird conspiracy theory stuff a lot, too. Like, the weird one that she had the other day about Savannah Guthrie's...
Wait, what was this?
She said... Okay, I don't want to, like, mess it up. Bethany posted a TikTok about, essentially, she was saying, like, this happened in Arizona, that Savannah's from Arizona. She did, like, local news there, that it was somebody who was targeting Savannah because they were mad at her for taking a job, or they were jealous of her, or... So she had this, like, crazy, like, 10-minute long thing on this conspiracy theory that's just, like... Makes no sense, but it was somebody has a vendetta that did broadcasting or wanted to do broadcasting, and Savannah kind of took that away from them. And
because
now, they're targeting her mother.
The famous conspiracy theory that's like getting popular or whatever is that it's like because Savannah interviewed Virginia Guthrie.
Right.
And then that's like what I think, like Candace Owens and people like that are saying. Do you think Bethany is flirting with like
Candace Owens?
Candace Owens core like YouTube?
I don't think she's smart enough to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I think if she was, she would have done it already. But what I think is Bethany can't like to Bethany, because she's such a jealous and insecure person, like she in her mind is like, yeah, someone might be that jealous of Savannah Guthrie. I think that's where her mind goes. And I think like, first of all, that's such an insane take. That's what I thought the take was, but I couldn't remember. And because she has me blocked, it's like hard for me to find out sometimes what she's really saying. But
well, yeah, like, it's just like, and doing all of her like mental gymnastics, like how she gets to point A to point B to point C, it's like, it's that... Charlie Day meme of like, you know, like all the strings on the billboard. It's too much. Yeah.
I mean, the thing with the Savannah Guthrie thing is I actually do think that, or Nancy Guthrie, I do, this is my like conspiracy, but I do think it was somebody who was targeting her because she is Savannah Guthrie's mom, but not because of anything with Epstein or anything. Like, I'm a burned journalist from
I'm a burned journalist from the local news 20, 30 years ago in...
That's Savannah Guthrie. What a bitch. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to play the long con. I'm going to wait till she gets super famous and then I'm going to kidnap her 85-year-old mother. No, yeah. I mean,
it's a just, horrible situation.
It's horrible. Yeah.
But it is but weird. Go ahead. Yeah, go
ahead. No, I mean, I just, this is my theory. I think somebody was like, knew Nancy Guthrie, had done work on the house, had driven her in an Uber, had whatever, and not that they did anything, but then they, in passing, said to somebody else, you know whose house I'm doing, you know who's whatever, you know who I know, Nancy Guthrie, mom of Savannah, and that tipped off some other person. So it wasn't even, because probably anybody who's been in that house in the last, like, probably 5 years has probably been vetted at this point. And so like, you know, it's like, it's not the pool guy. It's not the whatever. I think it's somebody who was like, hey, you know what? Like, you know who lives over there? Nancy Guthrie, Savannah, you know, Savannah Guthrie's mom. And this person was like, money.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
Yeah. I mean, that makes the most sense. Like a botched kidnapping. Otherwise, why else would they target Savannah Guthrie's mom specifically?
But I feel it's bad for her family and like just to be dealing with it on like this level, like on this stage, just really bums me out. But it is weird that like I feel like Bethany does this thing where she makes it about her somehow, or she inserts herself into these like horrifying like things happening. I feel like she's done this a lot, or maybe not even something horrible happening, but the drone situation where Bethany was like, the government's not telling us what's really going on. And she would talk about like the drones and she's like, I can't say on TikTok.
Worked for the CIA.
Yeah. She's like, I have a friend and I'm not going to say what he did. That's right. He did used to work at the Pentagon and he texted me to be careful. And I interpret it as somebody who's very worried about the state of Bethany's mental health.
I mean, that's literally the lie. That's literally the lie that the compulsive liar character played by Clea DuVall always lies in Girl Interrupted, is that like, my dad works for the CIA. I know people who work for the CIA. It's like famously a pathological lie.
I think she like just goes for the trending news stories, and then when something tends to do well, she's like, I'm just gonna ride the wave. Like, I've noticed that with her. Like, she also like throws things, she throws a lot of spaghetti at the wall, I've noticed. And like, you know, and that to me is like surprising for somebody who's been on TikTok for like in social media and has had success on there.
Yeah,
that she's still throwing so much spaghetti at the wall is interesting to me.
It is interesting. Yeah, it's like, what is she trying to do with it? It's almost like she's trying to figure out what her career is again.
Yeah.
But it's odd because she doesn't have to.
Well, that's just addiction more to me, you know, where it's like it's less compulsive, about like actually creating carving out a niche, and more like I feed off of, you know, whatever, whether it's rage baiting or, you know, I'm going to do whatever.
And 20 posts a day. It's like our friend Evan, he was on the podcast. He's like, he kind of got big on TikTok for like talking about all of Bethany's TikToks.
Oh, like he'd be like, Evan.
He's like, there must be a death in the family because she only posted 8 videos today and deleted 5. Like, and she blocked
other thing is
him.
She deletes them. Oh, I love Evan. Yeah. Big fan of Evan.
Yeah.
And I think like the thing, I think one of the things that I think the biggest misconception about Bethany is that she's as rich as she wants you to, as people think she
really?
Is.
Really?
Yes. She never released the number that she got from Jim Beam when she sold Skinny Girl. And I think that she wants everybody to think it was like 500 million, but I've read that it was more like 30 or 40.
But that's still a lot of money.
Yeah, but she was on the cover of Forbes and everything.
I do think they would dial that back. But, like, I mean, she had a really tumultuous divorce that probably cost millions of dollars in legal fees. She had to give him a ton of that money, which, like, makes sense because he helped her build the brand. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, life is not cheap. in 2026. And I don't see that she has a ton of money coming in. So like, why else is she doing a dating app? She's like,
this is crazy. Why does she have a dating app? She has never had a successful relationship. In fact, I feel so bad about how much I know about Bethany, but she had a book called I Suck at Relationships So You Don't Have To. That was like her self-help book about dating. It's so sad that I know this. And I one time I was on Xanax. It was prescribed, but I did I did send Lauren a book called Naturally Thin that Bethany also did write.
Oh, I read Naturally Thin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, taste everything.
She's like, what if nothing? Intuitive eating was an eating disorder?
Let's do it. Yeah. And it worked.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, listen, there's no way she's making any money off those books anymore. You don't, like, as we know, you don't make shit in reality TV. Yes, she made some money, but she doesn't own the beverage line anymore.
No.
She does own a couple of things.
Like the ham, the skinny girl ham.
Yeah, the ham, the like Spanx, but it's like those aren't
the
really
ham,
making
the ham, the Spanx, the popcorn. The ham, the Spanx, the popcorn.
Right. So like there's a couple little things, but like, you know, a daughter who like travels between New York and Miami and goes to private schools and like has like and like she hasn't had a big windfall since then. And she also has a has quite the lifestyle and quite
She has a lot. I don't even know if she ever even sold that property she had in Connecticut. And she has like now this house in Boca. And I think she has a few different properties in Florida. I think that she does do this. Like, this is part of like how she makes money, though. She has a lot of property. She kind of flips them. She doesn't live in them very long. She was in Architectural Digest not long ago talking about her new house in Boca Raton. And she said that like she deliberately designs it so it can be sold in the next like 3 or 4 years. Like, she doesn't want anything to look like custom or like, like something that she would like aesthetically, because she wants it to be like
a model house,
a model house, like a blank slate, so somebody can come and see it and buy it immediately, which is such a bananas way to think of like a home.
And also I'm like, how much is she actually doing this, or is she trying to shop that show she was trying to shop and like pitch with Pitbull where they flip houses? Like, she was trying to do that the whole last year.
Well, she also tried doing that one show about Connecticut wives, because Susan Sarandon's daughter is supposed to be on that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that? That was a while. That was like during before pandemic.
Yeah.
But that's like that fell apart because she
it didn't
wanted
get picked
to,
up by Bravo.
And she wanted to film the women 24/7 and for them to have like cameras like in their houses where they didn't know where they were.
Yeah.
Like, or, and they had like kids and stuff. Like,
and, but then she would defend it. She was trying to defend it, but this is crazy. Oh my, Bethany. Yeah. Girl.
Oh my God.
I'm like, just like saying this stuff out loud. It's like, God, well, one, like, I don't know what it says about us that we know all this stuff, but that's kind of our podcast. But two, it's like, you know, it's like she was trying to defend that, saying like, no, like my reality show is for women by women. It's respectful. And it's like,
it watches women pee.
Watches a pee and like their kids running around the house, like being potty trained, you know, that they like all of these things, like it's reality. And then Bravo said no, because it was, this was part of it too. Like, her reality reckoning thing happened not long after, like, it didn't get picked up by Bravo.
Well, that's the other thing too. It was kind of like, well, Bethany, you're like not even in the reality conversation anymore.
Yeah.
So like the fact that you're going to lead the reality reckoning. And I feel like it also kind of started with like, remember when she was going to champion Raquel?
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh my God, yes. She paid for her lawyer. She paid
She had her on her podcast.
She paid for Leah's original lawyer and like the ongoing litigation.
I wonder if those checks cashed.
Oh, wow. I never even thought of it. Man, you were like kind of blowing my mind, because I still thought she still had like some dough from all the licensing stuff.
But you're right. Like, I mean, who else still even buying Skinny Girl anything?
No, I haven't seen
there
it
isn't
in
any.
Yeah. Like years. I also think like that if you were really, if she was like, there was a time period where she was really wealthy, I think, and we didn't hear from her. Like, she went off Bravo. She was pretty fucking quiet. Like, after she pulled Skinny Girl, she was pretty fucking quiet for a while.
She was.
Well, but she had her own reality show.
She
I don't
did.
Know. I kind of think she's addicted. I think even
I think
if
she's
she was
addicted
rich,
to, she, is
she would still
to
be like, look at me, look at, you know, it's like she just is
maybe
a machine.
She's not, she
you
can't,
know,
she's but, not good with the silence. I mean, that's also, if, like, you go on her TikTok, like, doesn't matter how many views the post has or how many comments, like she responds to every single comment. And
so
it's
those are a lot of her assistant responding.
But yeah. Still, it's like people think it, and you know, it's just like it's a weird thing to still kind of always be responding to literally everything.
Tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
She does put her foot in her mouth a lot, though, because she has her assistant respond to comments and then like things get wrong. Like, for example, I remember one time somebody asked her like, oh, did you ever have a makeup or skincare line? And she was like, no. And then I made a video and was like, yes, you did, you fucking bitch.
Yes, you did.
Then someone asks her again and they're like, did you have one? And she's like, I did for a while. And I'm like, and I think that for some reason, I can't remember why, but like somebody was like, oh, the first comment had been answered by an assistant who like literally didn't know. And so it's like, I don't think that serves her very well either.
Yeah, I wonder if that assistant is still even there. Maybe the drones took them.
There was a woman who worked for her for a while who messaged me, not the woman who used to be on the show, Julie. Oh,
okay, I was like Bryn's godmother, Julie. Oh,
no, God, there was somebody else who messaged me and was like, I just want to let you know that I worked for Bethany Frankel and she was an incredible boss and she did everything for me. And like the fact that you're talking about her like this, and I'm like, that's great. I'm sure she was. Like, I'm glad you had such a good experience. That's fucking like, just because like she like did something I think that was unfair to me does not mean that she has done something unfair to everyone she's ever met. I also think that she has a much easier time in like a power differential friendship where like she's up here and that person is down here to her.
Yes, that's what
control.
She prefers.
Her thing
she
is
likes
control.
The control. Yeah. Like, I think it's really hard for her to not be in control at all times.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, and yeah, she could be a great boss. Although when she did that show on Max about what a bad boss or what, like how hard it was.
Do you remember when she
was
spying at every, like the first night she was like just peeking out the window at all the contestants?
She's like, look at her. She's thinking.
You're a producer. You could just be listening in your ear, like I'm watching on camera what's happening. And she's like, no, I want you to get a shot of me doing like, you know, rear window.
Is she the voyeur?
Yeah. Because she's like, I don't like that one. I don't want that one.
People. Like, she wanted to watch Susan Sarandon's daughter, like, I don't know, fucking wash pots. Like,
oh my God. Yeah, seriously. And she's like, this is great content.
I think she got inspired by Mark Burnett, where she's like, Bravo isn't like, you know, trashy enough. I want the real deal.
That guy's a real piece of work, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Roma Downey.
I have not heard about him in a while.
He's a huge conservative donor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who amongst us?
Who amongst
Except in us. We are not huge donors. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are not huge Republican donors, conservative. Not at all.
Okay, so we mostly just talked about Bethany.
Bethany. No, she'll love this episode.
She will. Well, we're jealous. We're jealous of your cease and desist. We've really been angling for one from her or from Rachel. We would love one from Rachel Zoe. We're really jealous of
Rachel
your C&D list. Zoe.
You have one? Wait, we can cut all of that. But do you have one from, we'll cut all, we'll cut
no,
this
you
question.
Can say it. It's fine.
Do you actually have a cease and desist from Rachel Zoe?
I do.
What did, do you frame them?
No. I will tell you, they like when I got them, they made me want to throw up. They actually, the interesting thing is the one from Bethany was so different than the one from Rachel Zoe. The one from Bethany basically said, like, you know, you need to stop talking about Bethany because you don't have permission to talk about her. Like, it's the most insane thing in the world. And it's like, you
nothing
do not
legal.
Have permission to show her photo. You do not have permission. And like, you know, I'm using images that belong to like fucking, I don't know,
Getty.
Somebody else, right?
Yeah.
And you don't have permission to use those. And I was like, okay, like when I got it, I was like, well, this is fucking bullshit because like if this was something like CNN couldn't exist,
right?
Like, like you couldn't do commentary. The Rachel Zoe one was different because they picked out specific things that I said. And we're like, oh, you said this. And like, apparently, I don't care because I say it all the time again because they're never going to do anything about this again. But I called her Bernie Madoff in a caftan. And that was specifically on the cease and desist. It was like these statements.
Oh my God. Was she like, it wasn't a caftan?
It was a robe, a chemise.
And like the thing about it was so interesting because at the time she still has it, I think, but she has this thing called Curator where you get like a box of stuff kind of like one of those subscription box companies.
Oh my God.
Okay. Which like are just such bullshit. But basically yeah. she was like, you know, like people would post on the page, people who were vendors who had done deals with Curator, and they'd be like, hey, I'm like 4 months overdue in my payment from you, and your office is like, stop taking my phone calls, and this, you know, like, can I please get paid? And I've talked to several vendors who worked with them that this happened to. But what happened was I started screenshotting those comments and being like, you guys, look, like these people, I don't know the validity, but these people are saying they're not being paid. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're saying like, mm-hmm. I did a deal with you and now I'm not being paid. Her team said that I had Photoshopped those images.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
They
Wait,
said
do
I
you
Photoshopped
think that-
them.
Do you think that she wasn't aware of that even happening and her team was covering her ass, allegedly?
I think it's possible that she didn't know that the bills weren't getting paid because I think, mm-hmm. like, it could have been Roger. Mm-hmm. When
okay,
she...
so, yeah, because when was this? When was this?
This was 2022.
Okay, so it's, like, not super, super recent, but I always did wonder, like, why she was going on Beverly Hills.
It makes sense now.
Yeah, recession indicator.
Yeah, recession yeah, indicator. Yeah, yeah, the Ponzi scheme is over.
And then look at Brad Gorski now, too. Mm-hmm. Stylist of the year.
He used to work right? for her. Yep.
Yep.
I think Rachel's interesting. I don't think Roger's a peach, but I don't think Rachel's that great either. But when I did... hear from someone like a year later who was going through the same exact thing again. And
wow.
Like, oh, so wow. this is a pattern with them. And so I always like, you know, just encourage people like, you know who you're doing business with.
Yeah.
When right before she sent me the cease and desist, that was the first one I ever got. But right before she sent it to me, or her legal team did, but right before she put up an Instagram story that was like a couple of Instagram stories about me, about like how sad and pathetic I was. And then she put up a picture of Madeleine Albright that said, there's a special place in hell for women who don't support other women.
Oh my God. Oh, well, good for her. Usually it's incorrectly attributed to Taylor Swift because she said it about Amy Poehler and Tina Fey when they made fun of her at the Golden Globes and didn't quote Madeleine Albright. So I'll give her team that. They knew. That's so funny
that they used Madeleine Albright. Like, that's so crazy. They were like, no. Like, she's screaming at an assistant. This is the picture. This is the girl.
Let's give her a reference that she'll understand.
She'll understand because she's like a brainiac. Oh, you like Democrats? Watch this.
Yeah. So anyway, fucking piece
oh my
of
gosh.
Work.
Wow.
But I'm not afraid to like say and now I know so much more and I have a lawyer who is fantastic. Uh-huh. And I realize like, you know, in hindsight, like that a lot of this, you know, it was meant to intimidate me, but you do need to take it seriously. One thing mm-hmm. that Rachel Zoe's team, I'll just add this. This is really juicy. One thing that they did is like, basically I had like 50 videos up about it because I'd been doing them over the course of like a month or so. So mm-hmm. They basically said like, you have to take down all the videos. And so I was like starting to take them down, but I was also kind of like, this is bullshit. Like, this is a video where I don't even talk about her, but I was like being silly. And I was like, blah, 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 Rachel Zoe in the comment. Mm-hmm. So I was like slowly taking them down. Now, by the way, if anybody wants to send me a cease and desist, like the chances of me taking down a video are like slim to fucking none. So you're going to have to like see my ass in court. But I started taking them down and they were like, you have 24 hours to take them down. So I started taking them down, but I hadn't taken them all down. And they sent me another cease and desist during that time. And they were like, hi, like we noticed you taking down some of them, but you haven't taken down all of them. And what we now would like you to do is we'd like you to write us a letter saying that you will never defame Rachel Zoe again. So oh at this point, I had a lawyer and like he knew that I was like, I'm taking them down. But also, too, like 24 hour turnaround for somebody to like take down all these videos is like kind of a lot. So I was like, I'm taking them down. But they sent me this. And he was like, oh, my God, no, this is so bad. And like before, he hadn't been like, this is really bad. He'd just been like, okay, we got to figure out. He was like, what they want to do is they want you to write that letter, and then they're going to take that letter to a judge and say, look, she did defame her. She put in writing that she defamed her. So he was like, absolutely not. Are you writing anything like that? But I just always thought that was like such a disgusting way to use your power.
Yes. The law is so fucked up. It's crazy that somebody like went to law school, all, you know, very serious and, you know, had to graduate and did all this work. And then like they're doing crazy shit like that. That's like probably a very prestigious lawyer. That's so nuts to me.
That is so nuts. Like I didn't know all this stuff about Rachel Zoe. I just remember her back like a million years ago when she was friends with Nicole Richie. And Nicole Richie had a very juicy blind item when they were friends. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah. So.
Wait, what was it?
Yeah. She said, who raisin-faced stylist goes to the Chateau Marmont and whispers her dinner order of 3 pieces of asparagus?
Oh, I bet
they had a really
her
famous.
Her piss must smell bad back then. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Don't.
We have not watched her on Beverly Hills, but that's because it's a trash show. It has not been good in years. But
and now knowing that she just did it for months, it's like, oh, this makes so much sense. It's the most like the easiest show to commit to. You just show up. You don't have to share any of your life. You
she
just,
doesn't
like,
have anything happening. She doesn't have a she's not a stylist anymore. She doesn't have a fashion line. I don't know how she has income at all.
Also, she's like already separated or maybe even divorced by the time the show is going on. So she doesn't have to put her marriage on. Her kids are like old enough that they can be like, fuck this, I'm not doing your show, which is like totally understandable. And so, I mean, I also think she gets to come in and kind of be a top dog because she's like, I used to have my own Bravo show. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like when people come in like a Denise Richards and they get to be sort of like a little bit of a higher echelon because they're like I'm a little bit better than all of you. I didn't have to join Housewives in 2009.
That was always Bethany's thing, is that she started as like an original, like one of the hoi polloi, and she was always trying to like make sure she was on that tier.
And she's like, I was on The Apprentice. I came in number 2, but I was supposed to be number 1, and she still talks about it. She talks about it.
Girl.
I know. And I was telling Lauren,
I don't even know who was number 1. Was it the guy who married Juliana Rancic?
That was okay. So the one that Bethany was on was like, it was only one season, and I was the only person who watched it. And it was when Martha Stewart got out of prison, she had an apprentice. So both people who have ever hosted The Apprentice, convicted felons. That's a fun pop culture fact. But yeah, she came in 2nd place, and she still will talk about how Martha Stewart has a vendetta against her, doesn't like her, that Martha has not really said, but has basically said that Bethany was supposed to win the show, but she thought she had an unfair advantage because she knew one of the producers and creators, Koppelman, I can't remember his first name, because she was like kind of dated this guy's like son or something like that. She had some kind of relationship with the family, and Martha found out and was like, I'm not going to let this girl win.
Well, also, like, oh, my God, what a shocker. She also has said, like, Martha didn't find her likable. And it's like,
Nobody found her
likable. What a fucking, like, this is one of those things where then, like, also, two people are now starting to write into me. And they're like, oh, my God, like, I just realized, like, Bethany really is an asshole. You've been right. And I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit. Like, what has Carol, Martha Stewart, like,
Andy Cohen,
ex-husbands, all these people been saying for years? Like, sometimes if the common denominator is always the same person, sometimes it is the person.
Right.
Yeah. Martha
but
clocked her.
We do appreciate her work on season 7 through 10.
She's
of
an
Real
incredible,
Housewives.
Ironically, ensemble member of a reality show.
I personally thank her for that, the most fucked up reality TV show I've ever seen, which was one of her spinoffs. What was it? Like Bethany Ever After, which is the darkest thing I'd ever seen in my life. Yes. And I thank you, Bethany. Thank you for that.
Yeah. We appreciate her contribution.
Yes. And, you know.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, okay. One last question. Yeah. You've been so great chatting
with us.
Patient with us.
Talking about your cease and desist. So you're like acclaimed career.
We're actually, it was really intense. Like, it's not funny.
I will say this, and you can put this like in. It was actually really scary because I was like not at the point that I am in my creator career at the time. My husband was getting his MBA, so only I was working. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to have all these things come out like the Daily Mail and Page Six, like covering it, like I was, you know, so afraid that my employer was going to find out and like what that could mm-hmm. do for me, because like it was just like it wasn't a great look. And you know, I ended up telling my employer, like, hey, this is going on just in case, like, it's fine. But like, it's kind of like a before and an after for me in content creation. I learned so much. And now mm-hmm. I also like, you know, think that I learned some things to keep myself safe online. And that's really important. Mm-hmm.
It's a good lesson. It's a good lesson for us all.
Mm-hmm.
But
I did almost throw up, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Multiple times. Yeah.
I can imagine.
Like Bethany.
Well, and it's just weird to like send that to like, you know, creators like that. Maybe like you have a huge platform now, but like, I don't know how big it was like when this all happened, you know, it's just like a weird.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, with Bethany where she's famous for doing it, or like, what's her name? Diane Jenkins or something. It's like, you know, it's, you know, Rachel, she's generally Diane's not throwing different. Them around willy nilly, you know?
Okay. What was your question, Lauren?
Final question. So, so if who do you think will be the next reality TV star to go into politics, or the next politician to go into reality TV, a la The Apprentice?
Okay, George Santos into reality TV.
Yes.
Oh my God. What else is he going to do?
Yeah.
And then the next reality television star to go into politics. I'm trying to think about who I'd want to see. Like, I want to see somebody that, like, I am, like, I feel like I don't want Spencer Pratt to be the mayor of the city that I live in.
Oh, God, no.
I can just tell you that right now. But I feel like a lot of times when we see reality TV people go into politics, it's on the conservative side. So I would be really interested to see what would happen if someone from reality TV went to the more leftist side. So here's my pitch. I know that people don't think of this person as reality TV right away, but Cardi B.
Oh, I would love that.
Yes.
And she's like a hero of the legal system after her recent trial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's so funny, mm-hmm. which
she started on reality.
She was in Love and Hip Hop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Cardi B is my pick to get into politics.
She liked Bernie.
Yeah. I like that.
And she protects the dolls.
She protects the dolls.
That could be her.
And she stays on Nikki's neck.
Yes.
Exactly. So that's what I would like to see Cardi B. And if I can't get Cardi B, you know what? Actually, here's my pitch for my progressive queen, Lisa Rinna.
Ooh, oh, that's interesting.
That's
that would be a good mayor.
One. Oh my God, can you imagine?
Ooh, just like really quickly for context, in LA, a few years ago in our mayor race, we had Rick Caruso. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Rick Caruso.
NYPD Blue.
And yeah, he's like
so old. I do.
No, he owns like the Grove and stuff.
The Grove.
Right?
Yeah. He's a billionaire.
Katy Perry endorsed him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember all these Dems
were endorsing him who were billionaires.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
And like basically, like he was saying he was a Democrat, but like, man, and all the celebrities were endorsing him. All of the big reality TV people were endorsing him. But Lisa Rinna was endorsing Mayor Karen Bass, who is, you know, not everybody thinks she's perfect. I think it's really hard to be a mayor of Los Angeles, but I really like her. And she is a Black woman, and she's just a great, you know, I think a great politician in so many ways, and really was qualified for the role. And so, I mean, I didn't see anybody like big and famous really like coming out from that world for Karen Bass, except for Lisa Rinna. So anyway, that's my pitch for Rinna.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You know what?
Yeah.
We think
you know that Harry Hamlin has got her, you know, reading some Karl Marx and shit.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah.
You know this to
She's going to talk about the bourgeoisie soon.
Yes.
For sure.
I love that.
I love that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our show, Meredith.
This was so amazing chatting with you.
And where can the people find you?
Yeah, definitely. You guys can find me yelling into the void on all my channels, Meredith M. Lynch. I'm really trying to grow my show on YouTube. So if you don't mind checking out my show on The Moment Live on YouTube, come on down. We have a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Are you kidding me? When you agreed to do this, I called Lauren and I was
Michelle's
like,
I'm so scared.
I'm so scared.
Oh my God. Why? Am I scary?
No, I wasn't like, I was like, she's going to send us a cease and desist. I was just like, I mean, because like, usually
she said yes.
Excited. Well, because when you're a huge creator, but also like I love all of the guests that we've had, but they're all like in my, you know, the world of like, they're just like, I mean, just talk about reality TV, and which I guess we did make you do today. So thank you.
Oh my God,
no,
I had a blast.
We talked about Bethany, but I was like, oh my God, I was like, Lauren knows so much more about like politics than I do. So I was like, you're going to have to really steer this conversation because I'm not as smart as the two of you with like Lauren like works elections is what she was talking about when you first got on. Yeah.
But we all found common grounds in Bethany Frankel.
In Bethany Frankel. You know,
so true.
An ocean of a woman.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. You're so good. We would have you back a million times.
Please. I would love to come back. Invite me whenever.
Yeah. And invite us on your show. We would love to talk to Soledad O'Brien and I'd really be able to keep up in that conversation. I'd be like, no, Soledad. So did you see Bethany ever after?
Yeah. The thing about Soledad is she's so cool. I think she'd probably be like, actually, yes. And you know what? I think both her and Jason Hoppe were flawed people. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, she was on. I remember her when she was on like the Today Show. Like, I like when she was back with NBC. So she's kind of an icon. Bravo Breakdown.